الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشي الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاع أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقال تعالى: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال تعالى: ورفعنا لك ذكرك. صدق الله العظيم. صدق كمان رواوي لفظي الشيخ حضرت مولانا شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب. حضرت سید always make مذاکرہ discuss one سنت of حضرت نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم before every بیان. This is such a سنت which is so practical, which each one of us have to do this amal. We do it, even the non-believers do it, even the animals do it. If we just do it according to sunnat tariqah, it is a basic necessity of life without which we cannot do. But we'll do it according to the sunnat tariqah, this amal which seems to be so low, but it will become our deen. It will become the means of earning our jannat. It will become the means of earning the pleasure and becoming the beloved of Allah Rabbul Izzah. And what is that? That to go to toilet, it's a necessity. Each person has to go to the toilet, male and female, animals, human beings, Muslims, non-Muslims, all have to go to the toilet. As Muslims, if we do this, which is regarded as a lowly act, it is not something to be proud and nothing to shout about going to the toilet, but that act can take us to Jannah if we do it according to Sunnah. Right? When we enter, make sure that our head is covered also, have our reasonable clothes on, and enter reading the dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khabai. Many times a person, because he has to lower his clothes when he relieves himself, this is when the nafat shayateen have an opportunity to have an effect on a person. And then many people have the effect of jinn, that is nafat jinn. They have the effect of other things, which is, so take on your clothes you have to take off, take on your other protection. Take out your policy. But Allah Ta'ala, O Allah, I seek refuge and I seek your protection from the male and female nafat spirit, jinnat, which are there. So at that time when you are in a nafat place, where the nafat elements abound also, and then you have to remove your clothes also, your sitter you have to open. So how perfect our deen, it has given us a cover from the other side. That seek the protection of Allah Ta'ala at that time particularly. So that is one sunnah to read the dua, it is our protection. People who get affected then, poor, they not only they become parishan, the whole family becomes parishan. Sometimes the whole community becomes parishan. So Allah has shown us that protection as well. Then we have to enter the toilet, and we're going to enter stepping in. Our legs we're going to use, either right leg, left leg, or jump into the toilet. Do it the sunnah tariqah, enter with the left leg. And that is again, entering the toilet will earn the pleasure of Allah. What a deen we have been given. Right? And then when we are in the toilet, lower the garment, which we have to lower at the last possible moment. Not show ourselves open, though there is no one who will see that, but then too there is sharam haya everywhere. So as low as we can go, and then remove the clothes. And another very important sunnah also is to squat and relieve ourselves. That is sitting on the flat pan. A doctor, recently his research is that when a person sits on a high pan, at least 1 pint, half a liter of waste remains within the body, even after releasing oneself. And then that is the waste that turns into poison and which causes in many cases cancer. Various types of cancer it causes in the body. We don't know what is from where people are being hit with cancer from all sides, etc. This is one of the causes of it. And if you relieve yourself in a squatting position, then all the dirt is removed. The bowels get emptied properly. And our Shaykh Ramad Barakatum Jazahumullah Khair, Hazrat makes analyzes words also. And Hazrat says in Gujarati we call the toilet Jagiru. And Jaj, Hazrat says it's like George, King George. In Urdu or Gujarati they don't pronounce it as George, they pronounce Jaj. And Ru is filth. So when you release yourself and you are now properly released, your face is like a king's face. You are smiling, you've got no constipation, the waste is gone out properly. Nothing of it is left. So that is why Jajru, because where your face becomes like in George's face, like a king's face, you smile like a king when you have relieved yourself. That is when all the dirt is gone out. But if you are still storing some dirt, and that is the cause of so many diseases in the body. So if a person is not an invalid, they hasn't got any problem, the proper way, and again, this is a sunnah, more than the health benefit, billion times more than that, it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when a person is going to make on amal and sunnah, not only the deeni aspect, but our health and our dunya, there is no Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala declares in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as a complete embodiment of mercy. Mercy even in this aspect here. The non-believers, the Jews, etc. should make an ifrad on the Muslims and on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what kind of a Nabi have you got? He even teaches you how to go to toilet. So the last final detail of our life has been taught to us. And it is not only, now outwardly if we think going to toilet is not an action of deen. We won't regard that I have made a big amal. You make tahajjud, you feel happy, I made tahajjud. You make tilawat, 1 siparah, 5 siparah, you feel happy. You became a hafiz, you became an alim. But you go to toilet, you know, into feel. But even that, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam converted it into deen. Just do it in the tariqah of sunnah, and now not only you're going to, not only in akhirat, in this dunya, you are going to become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. And in the akhirat, you are going to get the high stages of jannah. So going to toilet, 100 shaheed sawab. In these days, when using the high pen has become such a common thing. One time we were in Skanga, and Hazrat had to relieve himself, and it was an alim house. So the alim asked Hazrat, will you use the chair type of toilet? So Hazrat immediately said, I'm not a chairman. Sitting on there, and Hazrat says that every person becomes a chairman in his house without election. Otherwise, how many elections we have to fight to become the chairman? And here, without elections, everyone is the chairman. And everyone can be happy, I'm the chairman of my house. Sitting on the chair there in the toilet, and you have won the election, you have won the seat without elections also. So we don't need that. So the person, the sunnah make that, when this has become so common today, in good people's home, everywhere, using the high toilet to make amal on that sunnah, which is to squat and to sit down on the ground, what won't be the reward in these times? And a person who Allah uses to make this alive, what won't be his reward? So that is also a sunnah. And then when we come out of the toilet, we have to come out. Nobody goes there for keep and to stay there forever. We have to come out. And when you have to come out, we have to use some means of coming out, which will be our legs. One time, Haji Ahmed Lambat Sahib, lawyer, he told Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, we South Africans are so spoiled and so lazy, if we go to toilet by car, we should go by car to toilet as well. So anyway, you're not going to go by car to toilet, we have to walk out in any case. So we're going to walk out, you have to use your legs again. So this time, step out with the right leg. When you're going into the toilet, step in with the left leg.
When you're coming out, step out with the right leg, there is also a sunnah of huzur sallallahu. And then read the du'as, hufra, hufran. And that is, oh Allah, your forgiveness I see. Make me maaf. Our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatuh asked a question here, that why hufranak, why dua of maghfirat at this time? Did you go make some guna in the toilet that you're asking for maafi? And the expression hufranak in Arabic is like a person who is caught red-handed doing something wrong. And he says, please make me maafi. He has got no alibi, no excuse. The only thing he can ask is for maafi. And he begs for maafi. That is the condition when a person comes out of the toilet. Why is this? If a person has made ta'alluq with Allah Rabbul Izzat, then he'll remember Allah all the time. And in the toilet we not commit it. Allah has forbidden us. It's a nafas place. Don't think of Allah. Don't even think of Allah voluntarily. If involuntarily the thought comes, you're not responsible for that thought. But voluntarily, zikr is out of the question. Be very careful. Some people also, somebody is entering the public toilet, masjid, etc. While if one foot is inside, somebody is making salam. Now how are you going to give jawab there? You are entering the toilet, you said, make salam is a makey, but also on its occasion. Not on that time when the person is about in the toilet. And don't also do something that you have, for example, some favor to him, etc. And perhaps unconsciously, he says, Jazakallah. He's so in a habit of thanking you for, and Jazakallah is on his tongue. Inshallah is on his tongue. And now he's in the toilet, and now Jazakallah came out. So that's not the occasion. It's haram to make the zikr of Allah. If you make a mistake, ask forgiveness. And this is that ghufrana. That oh Allah, make me maaf. That how could I be such a useless human being that I didn't think of you? But it's Allah's command, don't think of me, don't make my zikr in the toilet. And this is the shan of what is called abdiyat and to be a banda. That you take the fault upon you all the time. Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Barakatuh is quoted from the Masnavi of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, rahmatullah alayh, that a king told one of his subjects that jump into the river with your clothes on, but see that you don't get wet. So this is what is called abdiyat. Immediately he jumped in. The king told him, come out. He came out and he told him, I told you to see your clothes mustn't get wet. If it was me or you, perhaps you should say, go to the maid hospital. Check up your screws, they are loose or something. If you go in the water, your clothes must get wet. So what did he say? Maaf. So that is a banda. Till we don't learn this, what our share, till then we won't be able to learn it with deen. Till then we won't be able to accept every command of deen. We'll put our own logic in front, our own thinking in front. But this is what is called abdiyat, fanaiyat, to completely annihilate oneself. And he says that, make me maaf. Maaf, he said, I made a mistake. Outwardly, it's not at all his mistake. This is that. So a person went in the toilet, he couldn't make Allah's zikr. Why Allah's command? But when he comes out, this is kamal-e abdiyat, now ghufran. Oh Allah, make me maaf, I couldn't make your zikr. Or if by error you did make Allah's zikr, not zikr, but you thought of Allah Ta'ala, involuntarily, because you are now so overtaken by the thoughts of your beloved, that you can't help thinking of your beloved. So you think of Allah Ta'ala, you come out immediately, ghufrana. And that is one aspect. Then the other dua, alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa aafani. That Allah Ta'ala has taken away adha. Or that waste that has come out, if it stays in the body, the person can die with that waste. If your urine doesn't come out, a person if urine stops, he knows what he goes through. If a person suffers from constipation, he knows what he goes through. He doesn't enjoy anything. He sleeps, he's staying awake, he's food, he's talking, mixing with people. But if you are constipated, everything, your whole system is gone. So Allah removed that. Wa'afani, and Allah Ta'ala has given me afiyat. Which is really the translation of the word jajru. Allah gave Gujarati's very good name for toilet, jajru. And our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair is here. Jazahumullah Khair analyzed it also very well. So, how many sinless in going to the toilet, which we have to do. We get up in the morning, the first thing, we have to go to the toilet. At night before going to sleep, we go to the toilet. How many times during the day? Some people, how many times during the night? Every time you make amal, it's not the hajjud is an extra amal which you have to make. Sit down to make tilawat is an extra amal. But the toilet is, you have to do it. You got no choice. And being all these sunnah, in the sunnah tariqah, is nothing extra. It's not going to cost you 1 cent or 100 rand to do this extra. Just do it on this tariqah and see what the mubarak deen we have been given, that even a basic necessity of relieving ourselves can become the means of earning Allah's pleasure, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pleasure, acquiring our jannah. And like that is every other sunnah and every aspect of our life. Just live it according to sunnah, make the effort. Read one sunnah kitab daily in our home. Read one sunnah a day. Read 2 sunnahs a day, 3 sunnahs a day, revise them regularly and bring the sunnahs into our lives and see how valuable our lives will become without doing any extra amal. Well, our basic daily activities we will do, but we'll be doing it according to sunnah. Health wise, how much are we going to benefit? And Allah, every sunnah has got millions of billions of benefits in there. The only benefits are 100% in the place, but millions of millions of benefits. We don't have to have the knowledge of all these details also. But just making amal, we're going to get the benefit. You take a vitamin tablet, you don't know all the details of it, what is going to benefit. You take it, it's going to do its work. It's going to benefit you, whatever the benefits are. So the sunnah, even if we don't know the details, but we will get the benefit. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq of making amal on the sunnah and making that a prime object in our lives consciously. Not just by the way, not when we feel like we make amal. When we are in a good mood, we wear kurta. Otherwise, we back again to our shirt and trousers. And when we are in a good mood, when we sit down on the floor to eat, otherwise, then we are on the table again. No, consciously, to bring sunnah in our lives. And this is not for those people who will feel themselves. Other people feel they are tired. But it is for everyone who reads that is kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no pious Muslim and modern Muslim. And there is no lax Muslim and there is no very conscious Muslim. All of us, we have to practice upon the sunnah and bring the deen and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives. This is the month of Rabi al-Awwal. It is famous that Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. There is nothing like celebrating birthdays in Islam. Some people celebrate, make Miladun Nabi, the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they celebrate. If Islam had to give that status and position to celebrate the birthday of great, great and honorable people, we won't be able to do anything else. The sons of Islam and the daughters of Islam are so many, so great, great people. Not every day of the calendar. How many people in every day of the calendar? How many milads are we going to celebrate? Eh? Some people call celebrating the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Miladun Nabi, and celebrating the birth of great great Buzurgani Deen, they call it Urs. Urs is wedding, a occasion of happiness. So they celebrate the days of great great pious awliya. Those people are definitely very great people. So they celebrate the Urs. So that is also like the birthday to celebrate, but there is nothing like that in Islam. Then we won't be able to do anything else. Islam and Hazur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran Pak, has not ordered us in any way whatsoever, and we have been in fact ordered, Khalisul Yahuda wa Nasara. Oppose the ways of the Yahud, the Nasara, the Mushrikeen. They celebrate birthdays, so I say it's nothing like celebrating a birthday. Not even our own birthday. Some people are pious, but yet they celebrate their birthday. Shaitan gives a dhoka that the person now is 60, 70 years old, and he sees now the grandchildren, to make them happy, they want to make a birthday cake with 70 candles. And when the hood goes wrong, then you light candles to commemorate a certain occasion, or to show your condolences, and you're appealing for people who have died in a certain cause. What is the lighting a candle, and on the other side you light a candle, one side for those who have died, and the other side you light a candle for your 70th birthday, 60th birthday. Islam, alhamdulillah, no matter how much shukr we make to Allah Ta'ala, what a perfect, pure, clean, of such great, great values beyond human imagination. This is what Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, rahmatul lil alameen. The rahmat of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only to read this ayat in a very nice sing-song way, even with perfect tajweed, etc. But it is to realize that what is the rahmat of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One non-Muslim lady made this objection at Iraq. A white lady, she asked Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah alayh, that you people say that your Nabi is rahmatul lil alameen. And at the same time, you say that your Nabi is Khatamun Nabiyyin. He is the mercy unto the entire universe, and he is the last and final Nabi. She said, this is not possible. If he is rahmatul lil alameen, he can't be Khatamun Nabiyyin. And if he is Khatamun Nabiyyin, he can't be rahmatul lil alameen. Why? Because every Nabi comes with Allah's great rahmat into the world. And whenever there is a Nabi in the world, Allah's mercy is there. And as long as the Nabi is there, Allah doesn't punish the people. Whenever Allah punished any qawm, any nation, the Nabi left that place. After he left, Allah's punishment came. While a Nabi is present, Allah's azab doesn't come. So, your Nabi came to close the door of Allah's mercy, if he's Khatamun Nabiyyin. Because now no more any Nabi is going to come, so that means he has closed the door of Allah's mercy. And if he is rahmatul lil alameen, if he is a mercy to mankind, he can be khatamun nabiyyin. Now all understand what her objection was, that if he is a mercy to mankind, he can't be the seal of prophet, he is the seal of mercy. And if he is a seal of the mercy, he can't be an embodiment of mercy. So Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi explained to her and told her, you have made your next judgment seeing the condition of the present day Muslims. That everyone is living for his own glory, just living his own life, just for his own enjoyment in this dunya, for that he is living. Whereas Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both. He is rahmatul lil alameen also, and he is khatamun nabiyyin. He is the seal of prophethood, but he hasn't closed the work of the prophet. In fact, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Nabi of Allah ta'ala, he has thrown open the doors of the work of Nabuwat so broad that he gave the whole ummah the duty. That each one of you is responsible, kullukum ra'in, each one of you is a shepherd, wa kullukum mas'ulun ar ra'iyatihi, and everyone will be questioned about his flock and his herd. And the head of the family is responsible for the whole family. The woman in the house, the mother, she is responsible for her children. Every person, the ustad is responsible for his students. The ustad's duty, many times we think, a mother's duty is only, I must give breakfast to my children, see that they wear good clothes, that is your duty. More than that, your duty is to see to his aqidahs are properly. It's her duty as well, to see that his amal, that the children are getting up for namaz, fajr, are making the namaz. The dressing of the children, that is also the mother's duty. And many a mother fears when she cries in front of her children, didn't I get up so early for you? In Ramzan, I should get up 2 o'clock in the morning and prepare fresh food for you. I didn't cook at night and give you the food of the night. I got up 2 o'clock. All those things the mother did. But if the mother didn't do the other side, which is her duty, which the father won't ask her, her husband won't ask her, her own mother perhaps won't ask her, but Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given her this duty, and she's responsible to Allah's Rasul, she's responsible to Allah ta'ala, to see that my son, I got up 2 o'clock to cook fresh sari for you. And when you came home, my husband, as your car came into the driveway, I put your fresh hot roti on the tawa. And every day, ghee rotis I gave you. All that you did. But if you didn't encourage your husband, you didn't encourage your children to dress according to sunnat and sharia, and you didn't encourage them to practice upon deen, then that duty which has been given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have failed in that duty. So everyone, the ustad is not only responsible, the syllabus he gets from the office to teach that is his duty, he has to do. He is not only responsible to come to class from 2 to 5 or whatever the madrasa times are, he is also responsible when he is the ustad of his students to see to their akhlaq, to see to their tarbiyat, to see to their aqaid. Even if he is not teaching aqaid kitab, but he is responsible for them. He is not teaching them Quran Sharif, but he is responsible also that my students can read Quran Sharif properly. If his students is product, he must be conscious of this. A principal is not only responsible to the board of directors for his duties on that side, and his duties, whatever he has to teach. One teacher was posted in Karachi to a school, a history teacher. And one famous incident which comes in the subcontinent is the breaking down of Sidnath ki Mandir, a mandir like the Twin Towers of today. So he gave the whole lesson, he taught it to his students, that who broke Sidnath Mandir. Like his teacher will explain, he broke down the Twin Towers. After the end of the lesson, one student, he said, Khalid, get up, tell me who broke Sidnath Mandir. He thought, he couldn't think, he started crying. He says, Ustadji, I didn't break it. So he caught his head and started. Oh, 40 minutes I've explained who broke it, and now he's telling me he didn't break it. He said, I know he didn't break it. So now, Usman, get up. Who broke the last mandir? So Usman is thinking. He started crying. He said, Ustadji, I didn't break it, but I know Umar explained what it. I said, he must have broken it. So he thought, what is the level of education? How low is the level here at the school? He became angry. He took the stick and started hitting the students. But don't ever try it here. You'll be going to jail if you try it here. He started hitting the students. Next, the principal came there. What's this noise carrying on? What is happening here? He said, what students you got in your school? They said, I explained to them for 40 minutes and then I asked them in these type of answers. So the principal said, doesn't matter, he ever broke. If it had to break, it will be rebuilt again. So he said, the principal's condition is also good. So then he decided to phone the directors, like, what kind of a school you people send me to? The students are like that, the principal is like that, the directors. So when he phoned them and he informed them, they told him, whoever broke it, that we're going to cut your wages for it. We're going to put it onto your account. So the teacher's work is not only to teach, that also he has to do and teach properly, but he's also responsible for the akhlaq and the tarbiyat of the students. So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw this so wide open that every person in every field, a doctor, when the patient comes, he's not only responsible to give him his medicine, but as a Muslim doctor, he's also responsible. If a non-Muslim patient, according to the occasion and suitability, give him da'wat of Islam. For a Muslim doctor, give him da'wat of the details of deen. Explain to him, everyone is responsible. This type of responsibility was exercised by the Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, to this level and extent that in the bazaars and in the shopping places of Madinatul Munawwara, a person went and buy soap and he came back with namaz in his life. He went and buy clothes and he came back with akhlaq also in his life. Because there they were not only selling soap and clothing and cold drinks or whatever else they might be selling. They were selling deen at the same time. And they were promoting deen also at the same time. So that is how a Muslim business should be. So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't close the doors of rahmat. He made them so wide. So he is a complete embodiment of rahmatul lil alameen. In order to appreciate this rahmat of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fully, it is very, very necessary that a person must acquire the whole of deen. Just acquiring some parts of deen, and just to be happy, I make my Jummah namaz once a week, so I'm a good Muslim. I go for Eid namaz, I'm a good Muslim. Or that on Fridays I wear kurta, so I'm a good Muslim. No, that is not sufficient. We have to get the whole of deen. And this is what is called also tasawwuf and suluk. When a person, in the days of before, a sheikh will not make a person murid until that person first, he will give him a cause. See that your aqaid, you get them corrected. And your amal, and your outward condition is corrected. After that you come for further progress. This is at a very high level what is called tasawwuf. Today, due to the weaknesses in the ummah, anyone is initiated into tasawwuf. Anyone is being made bay'at and is accepted. But actually is a person outward, zahiri islah, a person must do all that. And then he comes for the inward taraqqi, ruhani taraqqi, and ta'alluq ma'allah, and for the amraj e qalbiya, the diseases of the heart, to rectify them. Then he comes for this further. Today it's a different thing. So in any case, whether a person does it before or after becoming bay'at, the true object of it is to understand the mercy of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that can only be understood and experienced when we bring the whole of deen within us. As our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum gives a very beautiful example, that one is ilm al-yaqeen, one is ayn al-yaqeen, and one is haqq al-yaqeen. There is taught in the kitabs in the alim course, And it's quite a job for the Ustad to explain it and teach it. But our Shaykh Ahmad Barakat has made it so easy. He says, just give a crude example and everyone can understand very, very easily. Not only the students in the madrasa, but even ordinary people in a public lecture will understand this subject and this taqreer. That Aynul Yaqeen, first is Ilmul Yaqeen, knowledge of Yaqeen. So just change it to Yaqeen to Kawab, Ilmul Kawab, knowledge of Shami Kawab, knowledge of Anti Salmat Kawab. Or anyone else who is in the family or in the community, her kawabs are very famous. Now you got the knowledge, everyone is speaking of it. That Auntie Fatima's kawabs are very, very delicious. So and so's kawabs, now you got the knowledge of it. Only you the knowledge. By the knowledge, you don't know what it is, sir. Now next is, the next stage is Aynul Kawab. When you see the kawabs with your eyes now, and you see them in the plate, and you see the people in a restaurant eating those kawabs. And when they are eating it, they are eating it in such a way, two friends eating from one plate three kawabs. Now one kawab is in the person's mouth, the second is in his hand, and the third is in his eyes. And his poor friend hasn't got one kawab also. Then you know, it must be something so delicious, why is he just sniffing and taking it all for himself, not leaving a bit for his friend. Now you, with your eyes you have seen these kawabs are really very delicious. But still you don't know the taste. When next will come, Aynul Kawab, Haqqul Kawab, when the Kawab is in your mouth now. Now you stop, so when you have the knowledge of Kawab, you give lots of lectures on Kawab also. That this Kawab is so delicious, that Auntie's Kawab, and that restaurant's Kawab. And when you see people eating the Kawab, your mouth will water also. But when you will get the enjoyment, now your tongue will stop talking now. Now you're not going to give bayan anymore. And now you're not going to look at other people eating kawab now. Who's eating three kawabs and who's eating five kawabs? Your eyes are going to be, you're going to be so engrossed in the eating of the kawab yourself. Eh? And you'll enjoy so much, one person who enjoyed his meal, when he ate, as we say, Now I can't eat anything. So the Hakim said, gave him some food and powder to digest his food. He told him, you're the most stupid in the world. And your ustad, your father is the most stupid. Who gave you his doctor certificate? He said, there was some more place. What must I do with this butter powder? I should put one more kawab in. So much a person, when he enjoys the kawab, this will be his condition. What must he do with that butter powder too? He doesn't need that in his system. He needs one more kawab. So when a person has the enjoyment of it, this is the deen of Allah Ta'ala. One is we give lectures and write kitab, but the deen is not yet in our life. And one is that we see the deen being practiced. That we are in Afghanistan when the Taliban were there, mashallah, very good, but still a person cannot appreciate deen. And the parda the Taliban has enforced, etc. It is only when you will love it yourself. When not only your wife makes parda, but you also make parda with your eyes. Your family aage, when any person you have to see who you are not allowed to see, so nabina hoge, you made parda, you became blind. Your family se hat gaye, when they moved away from in front, bina hoge, you start, became a seeing person again. When you will stop seeing other humans, that is the time you'll enjoy the rahmat of your wife. What is nikah and the enjoyment of nikah? That as long as you are looking at all the women in the world, your own wife doesn't appeal to you. And that is all the jhagra in the house today. A person comes home and he says that it's hell for me at home. I enjoy myself more in the office. It's not his office work, he's mixing with women there and joking and flirting around with them. Even if it can be innocently, he doesn't mean anything but making jokes with them, talking with them. Then he's satisfied with all that. How is he going to enjoy with his wife? But if you stay away from all that, you don't look at your customers, you don't look at your secretary, you don't keep a female secretary, you don't keep female staff, you don't look at them, your customers, you keep your gaze, your hunger is increasing. A person who keeps roza, why is it he comes home? And he says, make this also today, and make that also today. He's hungry. He wants the food. So if you're hungry for your wife, see how you'll enjoy it. Then see the food she prepares, and then see whatever clothes she wears. You won't have objection to anything. You will just enjoy, because if you are hungry. But if you are not hungry, you ate the whole day. You're enjoying, seeing it, and nafs is such a dushman. that you don't realize how much of enjoyment will not take. As our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatuh gives an example, that this eyes and the control of the eyes, a doctor is writing a prescription, he knows that I mustn't look at the patient. But while he's looking over the eye, he'll just take one piece, and just to see what's the shape like, and what's the complexion like, just to get some idea. And this nafs is so much, in that 1 second it imports so much. And so much it comes into the heart, the whole picture is there. And then a whole film is made in the heart. Hey, other films you have to go to Hollywood and Bollywood or wherever else. So this film, film industry is in everyone's heart. And the whole film is made there. And you don't have to go to the cinema to go and see the show again. Whenever you want to, you just click it on and there the show goes on again. So this net is such a great dushman. So a person, until he doesn't, in every aspect of being, it might appear a little bit bitter for a while, but until you don't practice this, you won't know the enjoyment of what your sweet wife is. And you won't be able to enjoy your wife. And then all the problems start at home. You are uneasy all the time. And you think, my mother made a wrong choice in choosing this wife of mine. As our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatuh says, that you start fighting with your mother now. When you enter and look at my wife, you wore number 11 3/4 glasses. Thick lenses, you couldn't see properly also. That what type of a girl you chose for me. Then you start having problem with everything. And wallah, if you keep your eyes, you try and control your eyes, Allah will make your wife more beautiful in your eyes than what she actually is also. And once that is the case, where are you going to look at other women? And when women go out, it's a clear mazmoon and subject of the hadith that shaitan covers them. What does it mean? Shaitan makes them look beautiful in the eyes of other men. They are not that beautiful. And how many men feel guilty when they realize that and they say, Allah has blessed me with such a beautiful wife. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what did I see in that woman. She is even a millionth of the beauty of my wife. Why did I go and blacken my face there? And why did I then disgrace myself there? And this is the case of every woman besides your wife. So if we look after our eyes, the whole of being stretches upon it. Put the kawab of being in the mouth. Don't just give lectures of the kawab of being, and don't just look at the being of other people. Bring it in our life. This is what is the celebration of the birth of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is the celebration. A person will be celebrating every moment of his life. When the whole of being, the beauty of namaz comes in his life, the beauty of roza, the beauty of jihad, the beauty of cutting off hands if somebody has stolen, he won't see this, na'udzubillah, and the thought won't come to into his mind that this is very brutal and this is very barbaric. The thought, he will just see beauty in it. And wallah, there is beauty. Allah, he is the creator of beauty. Impossible that Allah could give us a deen which is not beautiful. Or that any part of the deen that is not beautiful. Once that will become, a person won't feel awkward at all in keeping a sunnah beard. He will give his life for a sunnah beard. And he will see the beauty in a proper sunnah beard. In every aspect of deen, he will just see beauty. So a person must make effort first to acquire the knowledge, ilm of deen, the knowledge of deen. And further, aim of deen, stay with the people who have got deen in their lives. This is what is called staying with mashayikh, staying with buzurgani deen. And then we will get the taste of deen itself also. Deen will come into our lives, and that is the actual time when we will enjoy deen. So further, there are few aspects that we should see to in our lives. One is, don't just take it as a bayan that now we have to have majlis, so people have to come and mashallah, people will sacrifice and come from so far. One day in a week a person gets to rest, but that also he has sacrificed. Or that it is just a formality that now I also just have to make bayan sitting here, all has come. No, not as a formality, but as a purpose and an object. The first and foremost thing, and if we can take this message and bring it into our lives, is that we make an effort of our attire. That we bring proper aqeedah into our lives, that's the first and foremost thing. Our aqeedah must be correct. And let us not just be content what we have got. We don't know how the enemy is working continuously to plunder our aqeedah and our beliefs. They are mixing with non-Muslim people. They are going across the lines and across the boards everywhere. So they are being influenced. And if we are not going to influence them at home in the correct way, and only the bad influence is going to come. What is going to happen? And nobody can control his children. Walk at night. That my child, at 11 o'clock he must sit on this chair, and 11:30 he must be on the bed there, and 12:30, nobody can control like that. Children are going to move. That is what children are. They're going to mix with other people. And even if we control them, which is impossible, we're not going to keep our children locked in the house. Even if we do, today they have put the agents in our house. The TV is there, the internet is there, the video is there, the magazines are there, the telephone is there, cell phones are there, newspapers are there. In less things, they have come right into our home. And all these things, we are paying for them. And they are influencing our children. So if we don't watch our archive and exposition and making known our archive, how many people, you know, as it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that a time will come when people will say, I remember my granny, my great granny, she should read something like La ilaha illallah. The person won't be able to pronounce Kalima also properly. Something like this, I remember she should read it. So if we don't teach it to our children, our own aqidah and the aqidah of our children, and make it a thing in our house. Today in our homes, we are very concerned about, we brought some new gadget, we brought a new dinner service set, we brought something else, the whole family is together opening the passwords. Everyone is keen to watch, everyone is engaged in it. But when do we become excited about these? A new kitab, and we are all studying the kitab, and everyone that I don't understand this, what is the meaning of this? We never get excited about deen in our houses. About various things, about the Jewish things and the Christian things, about Hindu things, that we become excited about. The mother bought a new sari, that now even the little child will also give the views of how my mother looks in the sari. Talk in terms of the Christians and the Western people, everyone will give their opinion that how she looks in the stuff and pants and everything. But we are violent, we get excited about deen also. But very, very important, not just the passing time, not just to kill time, but it is the responsibility of every individual that our kind. Today the Qadianis are not sitting still. The Shias with the kufr beliefs are not sitting still. The Christians, how much effort are they making? The Christians, the missionaries, when they took an analysis of who has made the most propagation of Christianity in the missionary circle, and who sold the most Bible, what they found is that one person who was very weak mentally, retarded a little bit, and used to stutter, he sold the most Bible. So they were shocked and surprised. So they asked him, how come, how did you do this? So he says, no, what is it? It's a straightforward thing. He says, I go on a Sunday morning, for example, whichever weekday night, to a door, knock, knock, knock. They ask you this when they come out. So he says, I'm from the international missionary, like that. So I don't go in detail and bore you, but he's stuttering all the time, and I've come here to preach the Bible and to read the Bible to you. And I will read. The whole Bible to you from cover to cover, unless you want to die. So immediately they say, this man is going to read the Bible from cover to cover, stuttering like this, without another moment, they pay double the price. Please, we'll accept the Bible, but you go from here. So in this way, the missionaries are doing their work. They are selling all the literature. They're coming door to door. They're doing their work. If we are not going to, everyone is doing the tabligh of the deen. And if we are not worried of our children, we worried of our business, we worried the child broke a cup in the house, we are worried the child broke a window pane, he smashed the car, those are the things that we are more worried about. And the deen of Allah Ta'ala we are not worried about. How is this deen going to come? So aqaid is the first thing. And then second after that, ibadat. Normally many times we say, we misunderstand this, and we say that huququl ibad is more important than huququllah. Huququllah is more important. Allah's rights are more important. But Allah Ta'ala is so fair and so kind that until you don't solve your problem and amongst yourself, you sort it out, then I will sort it. In that aspect, ulama have said that huququl ibad is more important. Otherwise, huququllah, your creator, and his rights, they are first. Ibadat comes first. After that comes huququl ibad, which are also very, very important. So all our ibadat, namaz for example, first and foremost, check that in our own lives. Is my namaz in order or not? What are the weaknesses in my namaz? And then, what namaz goes? Many more things. Our taharat, our wudu, our ghusl. Don't take for granted what we learned when we were 50, 40 years ago in the madrasa. We have forgotten. We have misunderstood things. Hey, one person, for example, Hafiz of Quran, used to make tarawih namaz, make the three witr namaz, imamat in Ramzan also. But in his dua, he slept up somewhere along the line, and he started reading, instead of wala nakfuruka, we don't make kufr for you. The only one thing he left out the la, and he used to read wa nakfuruka. We make kufr with you, O Allah Ta'ala. Hey? So we don't know in our attahiyat, in our qunut, dua qunut, we don't know where in our kalimas a certain fault has come. Make halqas in the house. Once a week, let us all read the kalimas to one another, read the surahs to one another, the whole of namaz, from the start to the end, read it to one another. Nothing to feel shy about. And the amount of mercy that will come in that home, in which home ta'alim is taken. Allah praises the home of your such homes. Allah says, وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُطْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. But talk about, not only that you will appreciate, but you won't be able to help talking that in our house ta'alim is taking place. As Maulana Mazhar Sahib, our Shaykh Bahamad Barakatul son explained that one person in Karachi is known as Mufti Achar. He is not a Mufti Sahib. He sells Achar and on a bicycle he goes around everywhere in the suburbs of Karachi selling his Achar. But he is known as Mufti Achar. How? Anyone who asks him a masala, immediately he gives the answer and correct answer. He doesn't make a mistake also. And he doesn't delay also and says, I will find out. Like that one Maulana, somebody asked him that a mouse fell in the well. So how many buckets of water must you take out to make the well pass? So today, it's not a common thing. We don't use well. So the masala also is not fresh. We don't refer to it. So it's not in the mind. So Maulana didn't know. He didn't remember. So he told the person what color mouse was. White, grey, black. That has nothing to do with the masala. They say, that I didn't ask. You go quickly, go and find out. In the meantime, Maulana had studied mantik also, logic. So quickly he took out his kitab while he's going to find out the color. So he checked up how many buckets of water have to be taken out. When he came back, he wasn't impressed at what he's saying, white mouth, black mouth. He told him immediately how much. So Mufti Achar doesn't have to do that also. Immediately he gives the masala. When they asked him, how come? He says, tell me, he studied Behishti Zewar. 5 pages, 10 pages, everything. When he finishes, he starts again. And without exaggeration, if we make ta'aleem in our homes, and for our satis, we have prescribed certain kitab, simple, 10 minutes minimum ta'aleem, 15 minutes maximum. Who can say that I can't afford 10 to 15 minutes a day? If we do the ta'aleem in 6 months, we will see people will ask us, which darimian did you graduate? They will ask our wives and our daughters, that where you became an alima. It will be nowhere that وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُطْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. The great barakat of ta'aleem in the home. So, at ibadat we must see, our namazes, wudu, ghusl, all the things about namaz. And we have to refresh this also all the time. And together, and then see our qaza'i umri. That I've got qaza'i umri in my life, I must start reading that. Then see that bringing reality in our namazes. That it must not be just an outward form, but there is connection. Make that connection. When a person is building a house, he does the wiring of the house, and the electrical contractor is drawing, this week I want 2,000 rand, next week 5,000 rand, but you tell him I got no power. He says, but you have to pay, my work is being done. And the day everything is done, all the wiring, the fittings are in, the municipality inspector comes and inspects and he passes it, in 1 second he's going to get all power. So the wiring of our namaz we have to make. The day our namaz is corrected and the connection is made with Allah Ta'ala, then we will see the light and the power that will come in that namaz. At the moment we are just still wiring. But if you are a contractor, he works for a week and 6 months he's now, he doesn't come and work again. So we don't improve our namaz all the time. Hey, Ramzan comes to improve our namaz little bit, and then for 1 year we don't work on the namaz. We don't improve our namaz. How is that connect? The connection will come when the namaz reaches that level. When all the wiring is finished, and a proper strict inspector will see to the final details. Small things you just have to do with some safety aspects. or even just some aesthetic aspects, better to the inspector once it's right. Then only he's going to permit and give the connection. So that Allah Ta'ala make our ibad, our namaz right and make that connection. In our house, we got a electric stove, a fan, air con, we got all the appliances. But till the current is not coming, the fridge doesn't do its work. The stove doesn't do its work. When the current comes through, now the fridge is doing its work. So there, like that we got namaz in our life. Inna salata tanha anil fahshari wal munkar. That namaz is going to protect you from lewdness and acts of guna and shameless acts. But if my namaz is not protecting me, that means my namaz I'm making. I got the stove in my house, but the connection is not made. It's not still delivering the goods. It's not doing the job for what it's meant. My fan is there, but the connection is not there. My fan is not giving me my cool air. So my namaz is there, roza is there, zakat is there, hajj is there. Till the connection doesn't come, till then you're not going to get the benefit. And till then, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ will just be an ayah. And we just say that undoubtedly my aqidah and my belief is that Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen. That when it will come into our life, you will have to say, you will love it now. And people will see that this person, he himself has become a mercy also. Mercy to himself, mercy to others. So whether it is any of our ibadah, we have to work in to bring the reality. Not just the outward form, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ zaman. A time will come on my ummah, لَا يَقْتَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا إِسْمُهُ. Only the name of Islam will remain. وَلَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ. And nothing of the Qur'an, but just the Qur'an Sharif will become a formality. Just for barakat sake, we will keep a Qur'an Sharif. But more than that, it won't have its reality. So our deen will become like that. Then there is another very important aspect, which is called mu'asharat, right loving. And in there, the most important is mu'amalat, our dealings with people, and our financial dealings. Many a person, his ibadat is very good, tahajjud guzar, hajj umrah every year, but his business dealings are not correct. He robs people, he does people down, he doesn't pay, he just goes on making stories and taking loans from people, and no intention of paying also. And one type of loan is known as qarza hasana. It's the loan according to Sharia, which means that you give a person a loan and the person can pay back, he's got time till more. You don't stipulate, I mean you don't make it hard. Whenever he can, he will pay. But people take this loan as qarza hasana, a laughing loan. Whenever the person demands his money, you just laugh it off. You don't pay him back. So there is not qarza hasana, there is qarza hasana. That you must have the niyat of pain, and you work towards pain. And as the Shaykh al-Hadith, Maha Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, people say that people don't want to give loans anymore. Everyone says, I haven't got money, my money is tied up. He says, that's not the case. People don't pay, that people have lost their trust. And if you take your loan and you meet your commitments on time, see how people won't give loans. And many people say the rich want to help out the poor to establish themselves. But then, the other side of the coin, the poor don't want to pay up, wants their business. Family people, brother doesn't pay his brother. He puts him up, he helps him out, but then he doesn't want to pay him out. So, how can we know the enjoyment of being if this is our condition? If our roza is not halal, how can we get the enjoyment in tilawat? How can we get the enjoyment in tahajjud also? This all can come when our roza is also halal. So mu'amalat are extremely important. We might regard it as very trivial and insignificant. A housewife ran short of a tomato, one onion. She asked her neighbor, neighbor gave it, and you never think of paying it back. You are indebted to that person, it's your duty to pay it back. But you don't think of paying it back. How many small things? We just take it for granted. We are traveling together. My friend thinks I just start using without his permission. I start using something of his. That is not permitted. Mu'amalat is a very delicate matter. And today people have regarded it not even as a play. They don't give it any importance as though it has nothing to do with our being. You give a person an appointment 8 o'clock a time and you just don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. And you feel that is misery. Some people interpret it as piety that you, I'm so absorbed in other things that I don't even know I gave an appointment. No, this is what is deen. And mu'amalat are exceptionally important in our deen. Then comes another aspect also in mu'asharat, in right living, which is called hukuk, the rights of people. Today people do great work of deen, give charities big amounts, but they don't worry about the hukuk of their wives. They're not spending on their wives and their children. A person goes in jama'at, for example. A person goes in the khanqah, not worried about the family. Hazrat Maasha Nasirullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to be extremely give this very great importance. Person until comes spend time in the Khanqa. A person who is a kachya peer, he will be feel very proud. Oh, mashallah, murid are coming, spending time in the Khanqa. Hazrat will ask, what arrangement have you made for your wife and the children? If they are mihram to see to their needs, etc. Just leaving the wife and children without any mihram, and you thinking you're doing other work of deen, you're doing Islam, you're making tahajjud. No. The people are making tahajjud namaz, and because of that they sleep straight after Isha. In fact, some people make Isha in overwork, masjid jamaat also, because I sleep better for tahajjud. This is not piety. Jamaat namaz is more important. And on the other side, they don't sleep early. The children know that by 9 o'clock, my father is fast asleep. And then the young girls and boys are out of the house. You are making your tahajjud, and they are making other kind of tahajjud somewhere else. Eh? This is not piety. Your children are your responsibility. And you have to keep an eye upon them to the best of your ability. Taqdeer is at everyone, but this responsibility also, we have to see to this responsibility. So everyone that has got hukuk upon us, whoever has got rights, we have to acquire, today we haven't got the knowledge. The Quran Sharif is so emphatic on this and tells you, sahib al-jamb, the person by your side. And the ulama of tafsir have explained, for example, you are traveling in public transport, a non-Muslim person is sitting next to you. You are not allowed to smoke and blow the smoke in that person's face or in that side. You are not allowed to smoke and that smoke is causing harming that person's health. Your wife is sleeping next to you and you have got such bad habits and you harm her and disturb her. This is not permitted. All this training is necessary that nobody feels you are burden in any way. But they look upon you as they play, this is what Islam is. This is what Rahmatul Lil Alameen is. This is the month of Rabiul Awwal, not having a big jalsa, 2,000 people came, 20 days of food. We are very happy, oh Muslims like us, we fulfill the rights of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what nazams we send, and what bayans we have, now it is to bring this into our life. All these aspects. And then one other aspect is akhlaq. That is also extremely important. Good character. And just like bimari comes in a person, nobody out of choice and willingness and gives dawah to any bimari. Bimari comes itself. Just like that, bad akhlaq also comes. And it isn't that you took a course of antibiotics and now know your whole life, you're not going to get flu. Or you're eating your adi paak and your methi paak and you're not going to get flu. Flu is going to come and it's going to come. So just like that, it's not that you have gone to the khanqa or you've gone in jamaat and you spent some time. Now I've got no jealousy in me. And I got no pride in me. You can become a sheikh at tariqat also. So, and very, very important, you don't have somebody on top of you, pride will come very easily. As long as somebody is on top of you, it's a great, great deterrent. And it will save a person very greatly. Otherwise, a person will do great work of deen, become a great alim also, but pride will be in there. Pride will come from his knowledge. Pride will come from your tahajjud. Pride will come from your crying in your du'as. That I am such a pious person, just look at these people here, how they don't even make dua, I cry in my dua. Pride will come in the work of deen also. So, akhlaq is very, very important. And this few minutes can never do justice to the subject. Whole life can't do justice. And it's not by my thoughts, and it's by nothing, but by Allah's presence, if Allah puts it in our hearts. Praise of Allah, that He puts this, the desire to correct these things in our hearts. That is the starting point of the tasawwuf. And then comes adab, etiquette. Today, living in the environment that we are, everything according to Western tariqah. Drinking a cup of tea, Western tariqah, leaving some tea behind. Drinking some cold drink also, we must leave some behind. And everything that we do is their tariqah. Their tariqah, at night, in the morning, you make up the bed, you freshen the whole bed, shake out the sheets and everything. And at night when you sleep, you just jump in. Sunnah is, at night when you're going to use the bed, now freshen it. Make it neat in the morning, but when you're going to use the bed, and if something has perhaps come in the bed which can harm you, when you're going to use the bed, freshen it. We don't freshen the bed when you're going to sleep. At that time, you just jump into the bed. So, sunnah in every aspect of our lives, etiquette, adab, how to use the bathroom. Some people make the bathroom in such a way, the next person doesn't want to use it. We make the toilet in such a way, public toilet. We go there smoking, we leave such a bad smell. The next person has such a problem to use it. And you leave some of you can't call it barakat something there. And the next person feels guilty, they're going to blame me, I left it here. Okay? So clean up, adab, etiquette in everything. Whether it is in the home, don't take advantage of the family people also. live in such a way that everyone loves you, respects you. Make your akhlaq, as Maulana Ahmed Siddha says in his nazm, that your akhlaq must become that everyone says, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So like this we must make our akhlaq. And then comes another aspect, all this is not for ourselves. Our deen is for everyone. So make the belief of deen. The belief of deen is 24 hours. If somebody see us sleeping, they must wake us with a belief that we sleeping according to sunnah. Anyone sees us anywhere, and wherever we are, whether we are at the police station, whether we are at the airport, whether we are checking in, our tabligh is everywhere. And our tabligh is by our actions, our akhlaq. Actions we always speak much more louder than words. And if our actions are good everywhere, we are driving on the freeway, our tabligh is there also. Something is lying on the road, we pull up with due consideration to security, to everything, and we remove the thing from the road. What a big tabligh. Whoever is going to see it, they saw one time, these bearded and turban people are doing it. They see it another time, no, these are very good people. So our akhlaq has to be shown everywhere. So tabligh of our deen has to be there also all the time. And then the cherry on the top to realize the final touches of Rahmatul Lil Alameen is the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. That a person comes to recognize his creator and his maker. When he realizes who Allah Ta'ala is, he can't help but falling headlong in love with Allah Ta'ala. People will say other kinds of love, love is blind. But when you find the love of Allah, you find all other love is no love whatsoever. There is only one love in the love of Allah Ta'ala. Allah who is perfect in everything, who is the most kind, who is the most honest also. When you do business with a businessman that is very honest, how nice you feel in their dealings. You got no worry, even if you make an error, you undercharge, he's going to inform you. When you deal with Allah Ta'ala, you can't find honesty, the whole world's honesty together cannot equal the honesty of Allah Ta'ala. You deal with a businessman who is kind, any person, and there was some fault in your goods, but he's kind, doesn't matter, okay, I won't charge you for this. Your goods came, some faulty it came, but I'll pay you your full amount. That if you deal with such a person in any and every aspect, Allah Ta'ala is the perfection of every good quality. So when a person has found Allah Ta'ala, and every moment he's dealing with Allah Ta'ala, the asbab and the means in this world is only an asbab, but actually everyone's dealings is only with Allah Ta'ala. So once you have found Allah Ta'ala, you can't help but loving Allah Ta'ala. You don't have to be given a bayan for the love of Allah Ta'ala. It's supposed to be a natural thing. And this comes from the shaykh. One masala in tasawwuf is known as tasawwur al-shaykh. To think and meditate about your shaykh. Some people object to this. They say that it is shirk. You must think of Allah Ta'ala. You mustn't meditate and think of your shaykh. You must only think of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi, Hakim ul-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, he said there is no question, no masala here. If the love of the shaykh comes, you don't have to think of it voluntarily. Involuntarily his thoughts are going to come. And then there is no question whether this is the tasawwur al-shaykh. The tasawwur al-shaykh is voluntarily you think of your shaykh. But now you can't help. In the same way, when you have the love of your shaykh, you have the love of deen. The love of Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the love of Allah Ta'ala. Then you don't have to force yourself to think of Allah. You'll be just naturally thinking of Allah Ta'ala. Today, many of us have this problem. I can't concentrate in my namaz. I make zikr, I don't think of Allah. I make tilawat, I don't think of Allah. Once you have done this ta'alluq in the correct way and use the correct channel, when you come out of toilet, you say, Ghufranak, Allah make me maaf, I thought of you, I wasn't supposed to think of you. You will be able, you will think of Allah Ta'ala everywhere. So that the love of Allah will come, the thoughts of Allah Ta'ala will come. Once the love of Allah has come and the ma'rifat of Allah, you don't have to force yourself to make amal. When you, who you love, you just want to please that person. And you go out of your way to please that person, you'll be pleasing Allah Ta'ala. And staying away from guna, won't be a mujahada as such anymore. It will be very, very easy to stay away from guna, because my love will become displeased. Hey? When you want to stay, you look at women, but your wife is around, you don't look, because you know what you're going to get. Hey? So when you know Allah is watching me, then where are you going to look somewhere else? And Allah is watching me all the time. My wife is only watching me when she's work. Only sometimes, and then also you still try and find a chance and make an excuse when you leave her one side and you go and talk somewhere else. No, but with Allah Ta'ala, you can't leave Allah one side. And you can't put Allah in some other work while you are going to go and do your work. Allah is watching you. So and in the love of Allah you stay away from guna. So this is rahmatul lil alameen. This is tasawwuf. This is Islam. May Allah grant us the reality and bring this into our lives inshallah. Amen.
यार है यार तू मेरा और मैं तेरा यार हूँ मुझको फकत तुझसे मोहब्बत खल्क से मेरे यार रहूँ हर दम जिक्रात करम तेरे मस्त रहो सरशार रहो होश रहो ना मुझको किसी का तेरा मगर होशियार रहो अब के रहे बस्ताद में आखे विर्रे जुबाई मेरे इला ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह तेरे सिवा माबूद हकीकी कोई नहीं है कोई नहीं तेरे सिवा मकसूद हकीकी कोई नहीं है कोई नहीं तेरे सिवा मौजूद हकीकी कोई नहीं है कोई नहीं तेरे सिवा मशहूर हकीकी कोई नहीं है कोई नहीं अब के रहे बस्ताद में आके उर्रे जुबाए मेरे इला ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह याद में तेरी सबको बुला दो कोई न मुझको याद रहे तुझ पर सब घर बार लुटा दो खाला जिल्लाबाद रहे सब खुशियों को आग लगा दो गम से तेरे दिल शाद रहे सबको नजर से अपने गिरा दो तुझसे फकत पर याद रहे अब तो रहे बस्ताद में आखे उर्रे जुबाए मेरे इला ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह नफ्स और शैतान दोनों ने मिलकर हाय क्या है मुझको तबाह ए मेरे मौला मेरी मदद करे चाहता हूँ मैं तेरी पना मुझसे खल्क में कोई नहीं गोबद किरदारो ना मसीहा क्यों भी नजर वक्पार या रब बख्श दे मेरे सारे गुनाह अब तो रहे बस्ताद में आखिर उर्रे जुबाए मेरे इला ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह मुझको सरापा जिक्र बना दे जिक्र कराए मेरे खुदा जिक्र मेरे हर बुल मुँह से जिक्र कराए मेरे खुदा अब तो कभी छोड़े दिन छूटे जिक्र कराए मेरे खुदा हलक से निकले सांस के बदले जिक्र कराए मेरे खुदा अब तो रहे बस्ताद में आखिर جب تک قلب رہے پہلوں میں جب تک تن میں جان رہے لب پہ تیرا نام رہے اور دل میں تیرا دھیان رہے جذب میں پریا ہوش رہے اور عقل میری حیران رہے لیکن تجھ سے غافل ہر دن دل میرا کام رہے اب تو رہے بستا دم آخر ورد زبان میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ
محمد رسول اللہ.
Dr. Farooq, I said we have a nikah today, a hat trick. So is there any candidates available? And today, inshallah, lunch will be served. All are invited. Dr. Qasim Peer has invited all for lunch. Try and take part, inshallah. All in the rest. I am on the rahmatullah.